Is God rocking your world tonight? Amen? And that's what tonight's all about. God rocking our world. And Gadgen went around the crowd a little bit to find out, how does God rock your world? But what does that mean? What does that mean? God rocks our world. And for those of you that are listening on the internet tonight, somewhere in the world, you won't see the PowerPoint slides going up. So apologise for that. But there's a beautiful setting here. We've got a great big banner that says God rocks our world. We've got a big map of the world. And if you're on another part of the world somewhere, send an email to Grow Church and tell us that you were listening. And we'll find out where you're from, even if you accidentally just happened to log on. So tonight, God rocks our world. So I thought the first thing I should do is find out what a rock is. And did some research onto this. So I researched a number of dictionaries, encyclopedias, and the internet. And I found about 17 different ways to explain rock. I didn't realise that many ways. So the first one is a lump or mass of hard consolidated mineral matter. So there we got a rock. We can all identify with a rock. He picked up the rock and he threw it at someone. Who's ever thrown a rock at someone? Okay. You notice it's just the guys. None of the girls throw rocks. That's good. Because they're still holding their Barbie got dolls. Barbie just turned 50 years old last week. Gee, she looks good for age, doesn't she? Almost as good as Livy Newton-John did last night on the concert night. So there's a rock. The second one, it's material consisting of the aggregate of minerals like those making up the Earth's crust. And a mountain is solid rock. And who recognises that if you're a collie boy? Yeah, Matt? The Grand Canyon? Do you realise I was looking for it and I was doing a Google search to get a picture and I couldn't remember what it was called. I'm putting down Rocky Canyon and I wasn't just quite getting it right. And I thought, no, something else. Rocky? No, I just couldn't quite get it right. And I said, Caleb, what's a canyon? The Grand Canyon. Yeah, I knew that. So, and also in Australia, we've got a famous rock. What's that called? Ayers Rock or Uluru. Yeah, there we go. That's pretty good. Daniel, are you going to go see that shortly? Yeah, okay. 3 more weeks. Okay, fantastic. Who has ever climbed Ayers Rock? I have. There's 3 of us. Wow. What did you find out? What was it like up the top? Windy. That's what I found. I was almost blowing off. It was quite amazing. Okay, that's the second rock. The third rock, if any Americans listening, is rock candy. Okay, so they call it rock candy. Brightly coloured stick, usually peppermint. But on the right there, it's a famous Australian rock candy. Anyone know what that's called? No, but it's called something else. That's it? Who was that? Noel. He's a world traveller. Castlemaine Rock. He's been to Castlemaine. A golden hard candy. They call that Castlemaine Rock. So if you go to Castlemaine, you've got to go and buy Castlemaine Rock because it's famous for the lollies. Okay. Joyce has just nudged Gadgen. Come on, you've got to take me there. Okay. And then there's also, the next one is a large gemstone, especially a diamond, is called a rock. Okay, she's got a great rock on her ring and wearing a nice rock around her neck. So thanks for the photo, Sarah. Give me that rock back when we're finished. Well, it looks a little bit like her. Also, there's another rock, you may not know. This is actually crack cocaine. They call that rock as well. It's little rocks. I had to blur out one of our local people. So we'll put that one away. And also slang for he's got rocks in his head. Have you heard that saying? Got rocks in your head. Well, maybe not so much referring to the thing. Who's ever seen the thing in Famous Four? No, Fantastic Four? Yeah? Okay. He's got rocks in his head, but we usually use it in another terminology in another way. He's got rocks in his head. Next one. Yeah, that's more likely. Okay, no one here's got green hair, so it doesn't represent anyone here. And the seventh one is rock and roll, a style of popular music. We all understand that. It originated in the 1950s, a blend of black rhythm and blues with white country and western. And rock is a generic term for the range styles that evolved out of rock and roll, as we know it's rock music, so evolving from that. So we see Elvis Presley in there too. Did you know that he's still alive, apparently? And I know for a fact that he's alive, because my next-door neighbour, Harold Holt, told me, so it's true. Okay, number eight. This one, before you put it up, doesn't matter. This one you've probably heard. It's when you're confronted with equally unpleasant alternatives with few or no opportunities to avoid them. This is known as being between a... that's it. Okay, a rock and a hard place. Okay, before we put the next one up, wait for the signal. Number nine, ice cubes can be referred to as rocks. Okay, who's heard of ice cubes being called rocks? You put it up already. Wait for the signal. A drink served over ice cubes. For example, Pepsi on the rocks. Okay. There we got that one. You have to close your eyes. When I say open them, then you can look. Who likes drinking glasses of Pepsi? Who does? Okay. Okay, well, Gadgen does, and so does Jesse. So tell you what, we've got a special treat for you tonight. I've got my waitress going to bring you a glass of Pepsi. I mean, you put your hand up. Whoops. You almost lost yours, Gadgen. Hang on. Before you drink it, Gadgen, before you drink it, wasn't there something you said about me before when you had the microphone? Okay. Something about you didn't know yet. Okay, I'll check the tape later. Okay, that's number nine. Number 10, then there's the most famous... Don't put it up. Go to the black screen. Stop. And then there's the most famous rock of all. Worldwide renowned, the most famous rock of all. And here he is. Rocky. Who's heard of Rocky? Okay. I've got a boxer here who's going to come and punch you in the nose. Put your hand up again. Who's heard of Rocky? Okay, put your hands down. Okay, number 11. Don't put it up. When you're in a state of difficulty or destruction or ruin, your business is on the... Okay, your business is on the rocks. Okay. Some companies going through a financial crisis... Their companies are on the rocks at the moment. Okay, and also part of that, sometimes married couples, and their marriage is on the rock. This is the best picture I could come up with. Next one. Next photo. There you go. That's I think their marriage is on the rocks there. So that's... And number 12, again, don't put it up, or it can be an upset. This is an upset. The news just hit the town. The news of the tragedy rocked the town. Have you heard of that? Don't put it, just go to the black screen. All right, you've heard of that. So the new, and Melbourne has been hit by absolute sensational story during this week. It's absolutely rocked Melbourne, if not the whole of Australia. I don't know if you've caught up with the news, but this is the news... right now that Humphrey Bear may no longer be on TV. Who heard that news during the year? Who heard that news? Okay, apparently Channel 9 is suing Humphrey Bear. Look, we got Humphrey Bear up the back there on the thing. Sue has been a fan of Humphrey for so many years. It's just every morning she's up at 9 watching Humphrey. And apparently over a $50,000 debt, Channel 9 is suing Humphrey Bear. So I saw him being interviewed on TV yesterday, but he said nothing. Okay, that's number 12. Number 13 is upsetting the balance or the routine of the situation is you don't rock the boat. Let's have a look. There we go. That was at our beach day. So don't rock the boat, okay? Because the boat's going along nicely, and the guy in the front that decides to rock it, they could all be tipping out. So don't rock the boat. If it's going well, don't rock the boat. Okay. So moving backwards and forth or sideways, like the ship was rocking, or the tall building was swaying or rocking, or she was rocking the baby, as we do. Ladies, identify. Have you had children, babies? Yep, rock the baby. Yep, Daniel remembers being a baby. Okay, so that was 14. And then 15 is... did I put that one in? Yes, I did. 15, this place is rocking, okay? It's moving, it's shaking and keeping us awakened. With the picture. There we go. So the place is absolutely rocking. Okay, number 16. Someone who is strong and stable and dependable. He was her rock during the recent bushfire crisis. And so we didn't identify what's happened there. So there's a husband. He's been out fighting the fires and their own house has been burnt down, and he's comforting his wife. And throughout that, he's been a real solid rock for his wife and for his family. And that's another meaning of rock, being, you know, stable and dependable. And the last one, 17, is as a great foundation, this building is built upon a rock. Okay, so solid rock, solid foundation. Okay, so that's 17 instances of rock, different explanations of rock. So, and it's probably lots more. And, you know, when I first started this, I thought, oh, it's just a couple of different meanings of rock. But there's so many. So how does God rock our world? Firstly, God is our steady rock. So Genesis 49:24-25. Genesis 49:24-25 says, but his bow, and this is Joseph, his bow remained steady, his strong arms stayed limber, because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you. Joseph pulling that bow, he's got the enemy attacking, and he's ready to release, but all the nerves go through, but God is helping him. God is his rock, his stable companion, his stable friend, enabling him to stand firm. He's blessing him. And if we are under God's covering, he's going to help us in everything that we do. As tough as it may have been for Joseph, he was able to hit that target because God was steadying his arm. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, it says, he is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright in justice is he. Pastor Chris talked about Pastor Mike Cronin's retirement last night that he went along to with Merrill. And they did a lot of songs over the last 30 years or so. And I'm not sure whether this song was in there, but I'm not going to sing it. But I've forgotten how the first line goes, but... I was singing it all day today. Ascribe greatness. Ascribe greatness. Yeah. Okay, Kayleen, you're going to sing this. You're going to sing this around the world. You remember how it goes? Who would like Kayleen to sing this? She is our music director. This is going to prove she can sing without the band. Okay. Ascribe greatness. Come on up. Come on, Kayleen. Put your hands together for Kayleen. Did I mention this to you before? No, no, okay, I didn't. There it is. Kayleen sings. Yeah, here
you go. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock that is perfect and all his ways are just. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. I can't remember the rest.
There you go. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4. Well, maybe we can get the band to practice that next rehearsal. That is a sensational worship song. And I can remember many a time just crying, just singing that in worship and praise. Because he is our rock. God is our rock. Amen. He rocks our world. Amen. Are you awake?
Amen.
If the person next to you is drowsy, give him a little shake. Come on, Joyce, wake up. Okay, our strong and steady rock is our God. So here's our steady rock. Number two, God is the rock of living waters. We're going to have a look at Numbers, if you can turn to that. Numbers 20. Okay, the book of Numbers, chapter number 20. And we'll look at first at verses 1 to 4. Telling you guys to get to it, and I haven't got it. Chapter 20, verses 1 to 4. In the first month, the whole Israel community arrived at the desert of Zin. And they stayed at Kadesh. There Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water. They're in the desert, of course. For the community and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community to this desert that we and our livestock should die here?" We'll stop there for a moment. Does this sound familiar? Do we ever groan and grumble when we find the going tough? Hands up if you've ever moaned and groaned and grumbled. Yeah, we all have. Hands up if you've heard others moan and groan and grumble. Hands up if you've heard people in this room moan and groan and grumble. Okay, okay, it was Christian. Stop it. It was the Christians, I was just saying. Okay. But can you just imagine Moses taking Israelites through the desert for 40 years and then hearing the constant cry of his people saying, "Are we there yet?" Have you ever travelled in the car and your kids all the way? I can remember all the way to Queensland one time. Brenda, Rachel, Hayden. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I think they, yeah. The Israelites miraculously escaped Egypt. They saw the Red Sea open up before them. And they saw God perform miracle after miracle. Just to get out of Egypt was a miracle in itself. And then, being chased by Pharaoh and his men, and his soldiers, they had no way of crossing the river. God opened up the river, in they went. Pharaoh and his soldiers all had a nice swim, but they got away, and all miraculously. And they've seen miracle after miracle. Yet even though they realized that God had set a path for them, that God had called them out of Egypt, God is sending them to the promised land. Things are going tough. It's time to groan and grumble and blame the leadership and becoming rebellious. And no doubt the Israelites here are being caught between a rock and a hard place. Well, that's what they were thinking. And even after 40 years, some of them were thinking, "Why don't you take us back to Egypt? You know, at least, you know, we were being fed there. We had water. Even though we were in slavery, being tortured, and some of us getting killed day by day, why don't we go back and become slaves? Hey, God has released you from slavery. God has released you from that pain and agony. God has taken you to the promised land. Why would you want to go back?" And that's what some of them wanted to do. They grumbled. And even though they saw God's hand on their life, and that's what can happen in our lives. We come to Jesus, we repent of our sin, we come to Him, we come to God, we recognize God's our rock in our life. And then God's got a calling on our life, and we know we're heading to this point in our life. But as Pastor Chris spoke today about circumstances come along. None of us are immune to circumstances. Hands up if you've experienced circumstances in 2009. Just Daniel and I. Who's experienced circumstances? And some of them not necessarily pretty either. Some of them have been probably awful, but you've had to go through them. Do you toss it in? You say, well, that's it. That's the end of my Christianity. God doesn't exist. It's too tough. It's too hard. But no, we know God has got his hand upon our lives, and we've got to see the complete picture. Okay, we trip over. We get sick, or we fail something. We don't get what we wanted. And sometimes when we climb a mountain, you can't just go straight up. Sometimes you've got to go around that mountain. We've got to be careful that we don't just keep going round and round and round the mountain because we're not getting anywhere. But we've got to be moving. Sometimes you've got to come down to go back up. So what could Moses and Aaron do? Thousands of Israelites are mumbling and groaning. They're thirsty. They're hungry. They got sick of the bread that God was sending them. They complained when they were hungry. They got manna, and then they complained about that. I wanted Nutella on mine. So thousands of them are now angry. What is Moses and Aaron going to do? So let's have a look, still in Numbers, chapter 20. Look at verses 7 to 11. It says there, the Lord said to Moses, take the staff, okay, not the people that work for you, the staff being a rod, and take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together, speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so they... So we actually... Did I say verse 7? I meant verse 6 to 8. Take the staff and your brother Aaron and assembly together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so they and the livestock can drink. Verse 9. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, listen, you rebels. Don't remember God saying say that to them. Must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out in the community, and the livestock just stood in amazement and said, what are you doing? No, water gushed out, and rivers of water gushed out, and they were able to drink and feed all the livestock. Is that a miracle? When times are tough, when things aren't going according to plan, you haven't quite made it from A to B where you're going, you're sort of at A plus one or A plus two, you're heading to B, and then you fall over, and then you're waiting for a miracle, or you turn your back on God and go the other way. But God will provide you a miracle. Perhaps tonight, this is what you need in your life. You need a miracle. You need someone to whack the rock and see water pour out. And perhaps you see it's too impossible. Thousands of Israelites are... Say that quickly. Now, someone promised me a glass of water tonight. Forgotten who it was. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'll hit a rock somewhere. Now, what happened to that Pepsi? There wasn't one for me, was there? Thank you very much. Gadgen must be pretty important. He gets Pepsi, I only get water. So. Important guy, Gadgen. So what was I saying? Thousands of Israelites. Can't remember what I was going to say. So, anyone remember? No, doesn't matter. Yeah, okay. So they got their drink and they got their miracle. And perhaps tonight you need a miracle in your life. Perhaps tonight you've got to stop walking in lack of faith. Perhaps you need to step out in faith. The Israelites, they had to learn for 40 years that it takes faith to get to God where God wants to take you. Sometimes we think it's too easy. We live in an instant world. Instant coffee, instant trains, instant everything. You want to watch the cricket on the other side of the world? You turn on the TV, it's there, instant. You don't even have to go and watch it, it's there. So everything's instant. But God wants you to go from A to B. Perhaps it's going to take some time. Maybe it's going to take some years. Maybe it's going to take some hard work. Maybe it's going to take some study. Maybe it's going to take a change in your heart. And maybe it's going to require a miracle in your life as well. That's where faith comes in. So, Aaron, Moses, they listened to God. And God spoke and said, this is how you're going to appease the thousands of people who are basically rebelling and ready to head back to Egypt or ready to die. Of course, we need to accept the promises that we read in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, which says that he is the rock. If you're living your life that Jesus, that God is your rock, well, then you're going to be following that path from A to B. But if he is not your rock, he ain't going to rock your world. Is Jesus rocking your world tonight? Or if you come to a point, to a stop, if you come into the desert and it's burning you up, you come to the desert and you're feeling dry and you're feeling thirsty, and perhaps you come into a spiritual dryness and it's not happening for you. Or perhaps today is the time where you look to your God as the rock. Corinthians 10:3-4 says, they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Jesus. God is our rock through Jesus Christ. You don't come to God unless you come through Jesus. Okay, third, God is the rock of our foundation. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the what? Okay, that's good. Matthew 16:18 says, and I tell you that you are Peter. I think the Greek Peter, Petra, Petros, the word Peter actually means rock. Who's Greek here? Is that correct? Okay. So if you know someone called Peter, his real name is Rock. You can call him Rocky. Anyone called Peter here tonight? No? No? There was a Peter here this morning. And I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Peter as a rock was instrumental in building God's church. And the church was built on the foundation and rock of God. And nothing can pull it down. Amen? Is that an amen? Okay, good. Rock someone next to you if you can. 1 Peter 2:7-8 says, now to you, believe this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Jesus is our rock, and he's our foundation. Is he the foundation stone in your life? Where does Jesus, what part does he play in your life? Is he your rock? Isaiah 26:4 says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. Our Lord Jesus, our God, is our rock eternal. So when God rocks your world, we're talking about an eternal world here. Not just our little community that we live in here, not this part of Australia, not even the whole earth. He's going to rock your world in heaven and forever. Number four, God will rock our boat. I mean, you saw the photo of the guys on the boat there and someone standing up and we talked about that. Don't rock the boat. Well, I'll tell you what, Jesus will come in and rock your boat. You might be sort of sailing along there thinking it's all going nicely, but perhaps you're not going the right direction. Jesus will come into your life and rock your boat. And in a moment, what happens if you rock the boat too much? You go in for a swim. And then you're really crying out for help. We all know the story of Zacchaeus. In the modern day, they seem to call him Zacchaeus. But when I went to religious instruction, as they call it, when I was in prep, there was a little old lady that used to come and teach us Bible stories, and it was Zacchaeus. And there was a little song about Zacchaeus. Do you remember that song, Kayleen? Zacchaeus was a very little man. Very little man was he. Climbed up to the sycamore tree. For the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Lord can pass that way. But I've forgotten the rest. Okay. And then in the end it says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house for tea. So it was a great little song. So Zacchaeus, that's how I remember his name. And I think the little old lady that taught us, well, she probably knew him. No, not at all. But his life was totally disrupted. Jesus came and rocked his boat. He was a very rich man. He took taxes, collected taxes, and kept a lot for himself. I'm not sure how that system worked those days. Sounded like a good system. It sounded like a good system for only a handful of people. And he was robbing people. Now, he heard about Jesus. He heard about his miracle, heard about the authority of his word. And when Jesus came by, Zacchaeus was a little tiny fella. He could not see. So he climbed up into the tree. Sounds poetic. So he went up into the tree to see Jesus, and Jesus walked by and said, "What are you doing up there? Get down." And he climbed down and he said, "I'm going to your house for tea." So off they went. But Zacchaeus, he did something. He made an effort to find Jesus. He heard of Jesus, he knew of him, but he wanted to know more. He had a desire in his heart to find Jesus, and he did. And when you go looking for Jesus, he will find you. He will find you. But he's rocked his boat. He's gone and had dinner with him. Didn't have time to clean up the house because, "Jesus, I'm coming now." How would you like it if someone knocked on the door and said, "I'm coming to your house for tea"? How would you like if Jesus walked in tonight and said to you, Tashara, "Jesus said, I'm coming over to your house for supper tonight"? How would you like that? It'd be great. You'd quickly... I know what you quickly do. You don't care. If Jesus comes to your house, you don't care about the state of your house. Not that there's anything wrong with the state of the Tashara's house. It is always exceptionally clean when I've been there. Is the house nice and clean?
Yes.
Okay. That's confirmation. Her room. Okay. So he's rocked his boat and he's asked Jesus to come into his life. He's repented of his sin. Is anybody here identify with Zacchaeus in any way? Can anyone identify with Zacchaeus coming to Jesus, asking him to come into his life? Okay. There's one more thing Zacchaeus did, which I'm not sure too many of us have done. He said, "Okay, I've done a lot of wrong things. I'm now going to give half my wealth to the poor." Wow, that's a pretty big step. Come to Jesus, gave half his wealth, and then anyone he robbed, he gave them four times as much he took from them. His boat was rocked, but he was happy. Fifth one, God rocks us and comforts us. Matthew 11:28. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in the heart, and you will find rest for your souls." As we saw the picture of the mother in the rocking chair with little baby and nursing and rocking the baby. Well, Jesus says, "Come to me, I will give you rest. Come and lean on my shoulder. Come on, I'll give you a hug. I know things have been tough. I know you're tired. I know you're drawn out. You're worn out. And things haven't been going too well for you." And that was his heart for the Israelites. Israelites were complaining and moaning. But when you come to Jesus, not with complaints and moans, but come to him and say, "I'm seriously not traveling too well. I'm struggling." He's going to put his arm around you and say, "Come to me, son. Come to me, child. Come to me, daughter. And he's going to rock you in his arms and gives us comfort and rest. And the last one, God rocks in heaven. Luke 15:10, it says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. In other words, heaven is going to rock the minute one person gives their life to Jesus. It means that Jesus went to the cross for one person, that is you. And when one person gives a heart to Jesus, the whole of heaven is rocking. The angels are rejoicing, they are clapping, they're shouting, they're singing, they're praising God. And heaven will rock. But does your world rock tonight? Is God rocking your world tonight? Or have you been struggling? Have you been going through some wilderness? Well, tonight, as the band comes up and plays the concluding song, you need prayer tonight. You've been struggling going from A to B. And perhaps you've only taken one step. As I say, it takes one step to climb Mount Everest. You need to take that first step. Long way to go up, but you still have to take that first step. Perhaps you're struggling. Perhaps you haven't got left point A yet. You're still at home base. You still haven't taken the first steps. And tonight, if Jesus is speaking to you, if God is speaking to your heart, and you need prayer to help you get out of the wilderness, you come forward now. I believe God wants to hold you, wants to rock you, and wants you to come to that point where you accept that Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 becomes a reality in your life, that he is your rock. Is God your rock, and does he rock your world? You come forward tonight. Amen.